Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back again. You're with Reverend Harris and Dr. Gene Kennedy out of the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Your very own Reverend Dr. Floyd E. Harris Jr. on the West Coast, in California. I'm only 3 hours from L.A., 3 hours from Oaktown, Oakland, California, where the Black Panthers originated. We're on the air again. We come on a little later tonight, but we are still going to hold it down. There's a lot going on here in America, and across the world. And we just want to have a discussion tonight. We know that Minister Farrakhan is going to be in Washington, D.C. this weekend to talk about justice or else. We kind of want to talk about terminology, justice or else. What does that mean, justice or else? Can we make that turn it into some type of biblical conversation tonight? I know that we respect everyone's faith and non-faith, but does that terminology can be seen in a biblical terminology, justice or else? What does the minister mean by justice or else? We do know that here in America that we have seen many cities go up in flames. We've seen Ferguson, Michael Brown, who was assassinated by the police in St. Louis. We've seen 2 or 3 weeks of the city going up in flames. We've seen L.A., Watts, has went up in flames at some point of time. We've seen Baltimore on the East Coast when our brother was thrown in back of the paddy wagon with the officers there. We do know of Oscar Grant here in Oakland, California at the BART station where he was handcuffed, turned over, and shot by police. We know the Torres young man in Madera, California, who was handcuffed, placed in back of the police car, and the lady officer thought she pulled her taser, but she pulled her Glock and shot him right through the heart. And there's just many, 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 many stories. Mario Marrero in Vallejo, California, where I was able to start that movement in Vallejo, who was sitting in front of his house, and two cops came and assassinated him, shooting him 40 times inside of the car, and there was no gun at all. Just recently here in Fresno, we had another brother who was mentally ill, and the Fresno Police Department knew he was mentally ill, but yet they shot him 9 times holding a water hose. Where is America going now? Why is all of these shootings happening now? Why are people coming up dead right now? When we talk about Sister Donnie in Stockton, California, where her son was shot at 48 times. 48 times her son was shot at. I want you mothers tonight to take a little time right now to just reflect, to look at your son right now or your grandson right now or your nephew right now. And just imagine someone, a police officer, shooting at them 48 times. And not that he shot 48 times, the officers, they hit him 18 times with bullets that riddled his body and with one bullet in back of the head. And we call that assassination, a bullet behind the head. And understand that her son was unarmed. And Sister Donnie and the mothers across the country and fathers like myself, the mothers have to live this day in and day out. So you mothers tonight, I want you to do me a favor. Just look at your sons right now. Look at your nephews right now. Look at your grandsons right now. And just imagine, put yourselves in the shoes of the mothers, Trayvon Martin, who has lost their children across this country. Brown was assassinated in his community. None of those police officers lived in that community. but they police that community. I just want you to look your children in the eyes. Because the minister is going to Washington, D.C. this week to say justice or else. And what does that mean, justice or else? We have on the line our very own Dr. Jean Kennedy. We are excited to have her on the show today. She will be coming back to Fresno, California here in the next week or so. We're going to be excited to have her here. We're going to make sure that we welcome her back home and to Fresno on a high note. And we're just going to go ahead and chime our sister in right now. Dr. Jean Kennedy, welcome to the show, Real Talk with the number one doctor in Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, thank you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation, and we are here alive and well in Atlanta, Georgia. You can feel the atmosphere in the air as the buses are beginning to coordinate their big trip into Washington, D.C. I hear there's over 15 or so buses leaving just Atlanta alone. I don't know about the other cities. There's Conyers, there is Smyrna, there's Marietta. There's so many cities that are here in and so many counties that are here in the state of Georgia. You know, when people think of Georgia, we think that Atlanta is Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up call. Atlanta is not Georgia. Atlanta is Atlanta. What you see going on in Atlanta, when you step out of Atlanta, you're like you're in a whole nother world. Now, that's for another show. But the fact that they are organizing this trip to bring so many people, and what I like about the idea of this Million Man's March is that this particular time, the minister, Farrakhan, is actually saying, bring the entire family. It's an invitation for the entire family, not just for black men, but that gives black men an opportunity to go back to your son that you haven't seen in a while, or this broken relationship you have with your son. This is an opportunity for people to come together and join in solidarity and come and listen to the minister. He's not trying to bring everybody under a religion of Nation of Islam. I'm not saying that's good or that's bad, but he's not going there for that purpose. He is going to have people focus in on that theme that he has, justice or else. You know what? That is powerful. Justice or else? You know, justice within itself is a big name, is a big word. That's a million-dollar word right there. And then you say justice or else? My God, I want to know what the or else is about. I want to know. I am going to keep my ears very close to the pavement. I want to hear out to the heartbeat. I want to hear what it is that Minister Farrakhan has to say, Brother Minister Farrakhan will be saying and speaking into the lives of those who will take the time out to go to Washington, D.C., and to proclaim such a theme, justice or else. I have some thoughts on that, but we'll continue our conversation, and I will give you my two cents on what I think maybe this or else might mean. But this is certainly a midnight hour cry to our nation, because this nation certainly is in trouble. And we have got to have someone that can bring us back around. And if he becomes the tree where we can, as the good book says, we're a mustard. And if we're a mustard and we're put into the ground, Jesus himself gave that parable. That mustard is supposed to grow into a tree. And that tree ought to have some branches. And the branches is designed for the birds to come in and find safety. Where are our trees in our black community? Where are the trees? Who are the trees that we can go and find refuge and shelter and safety? Are you a tree as you're listening to us, ladies and gentlemen? Are you purposing? Do you have purpose within your community? And so as all the brothers and sisters and families go in to Washington this weekend to listen to what the Honorable Minister Farrakhan has to say, I hope that he will plant a seed in their spirit so that they can come back into their communities and be that tree that will have its branches open and available for people to take refuge in there.
Wow. Dr. Kennedy, living and be a black man right now, in 2005, to be the age 45 right now, I really don't know from one day to the next if I'm going to be alive. And it's good that we have a messenger like the minister who is fearful, not fearful of the government, and really courage to stand up and say what needs to be said and to be able to energize the black man and energize the black community right now, so that we can understand and get to marching. I always hear you. I never understood Dr. Kennedy. You always say this all the time, and now I think I'm just now understanding what you've been saying all these years. You said, what is our marching orders? What is our marching orders? What do we need to do? We've been on the radio for like 2 years now, and just tonight I'm really understanding. Give us our marching orders. Tell us what we need to do. Tell us where we need to go. And you always say that with compassion and courage. Because I've buried many, many black men in this community. Not just Fresno, but all over the state of California. And when I see a mother at the head of the casket saying, why? Why did they shoot him for her voice? It's the most, just send chills down your spine. And there's nothing that we can do but just hug that mother and embrace that family and to keep advocating to change policy here in this country. I'm happy to know that the minister is going to be speaking this week. You do need to notice, Dr. Kennedy, that our Chief Dyer is in Washington, D.C. I believe that Chief Dyer is and I'm trying to find his research. He's either the national president of the Police Association, or he's the California president of the Police Association. He's either one or the other. But he is in Washington, D.C. this week and assured that all of the police departments across the country is going to have the minister under surveillance. And I just can't imagine, Dr. Kennedy. I just can't imagine someone doing something to the minister this week if this whole country and other countries will erupt if someone put a hand on the minister.
Well, we don't have to worry about that, brother. He's well guarded. He's well protected. What I find interesting, Brother Harris, as we're talking tonight, because we're having a conversation, we're letting people listen into our conversation, and I just think this is one of those shows that will have to go on the YouTube, have to go on our Facebook, because I find it interesting that all of these police chiefs are heading to Washington. They definitely got to know that this brother got a message. He's got a word in due season. They are going to hear it for themselves. They're all being commissioned. This is not by chance that your police chief, and even around here, the representatives of those, they're flying in intentionally to be on that watch. They want to hear what it is that this minister is going to tell the people, because that shows that they know he's a powerful man. They may talk about him, talk him down to the ground. Our black churches and ministers, bourgeois as they will be, will try not to invite him to come into their churches, and that's okay, because you know what? You can't keep a prophet down. They did that in the Old Testament, They try to run Elijah out. The poor man Elijah had to run in a cave one time and had to hide out in a cave because of Jezebel. Well, there's a Jezebel spirit in this nation right now. And our Minister Farrakhan is not afraid of Jezebel. He is going to talk up. That's why he says justice or else. He's not going to allow the men anymore, our black men, to feel that they are useless. And so they have sent the police chiefs to go in, and really they're going in just to listen so that they can come back into their communities now and strategize. Oh, so what do we need to do to break the spirit of a black man? What do we need to do to keep down the black man? What do we need to do to read the black man's behavior? What is it that the minister has said to them so that we understand the codes and we understand their behavior? What do we need to do? And you think Minister Farrakhan does not know that they will be planters, they will be there listening in? That's okay. They need to all come to Washington. They're coming to the right place. Come one and all and listen to what the minister has to say, because I believe that he is going to give a message in due season. It's not about his religion. It's not about who he worships. It's not about what his faith is. He's not going over there to build his congregation. He's going over there to speak power to the truth. He's out there speaking justice and identifying what does it mean, because I am convinced as an organizational psychologist, and hear me well, brothers and sisters, you heard it straight from Dr. Kennedy. I am convinced more than ever that justice means something very different to black people than it does to the dominant culture. What we see as justice is not the same interpretation of justice for our dominant culture. It means two totally different things. It looks very, very different. And so we need to get an interpretation, a definition of what it really means for justice. And I believe that the minister is going to spell it out, that if you are a black man, any at all, you identify as a black man, whether you biracial and you want to take on the black side of you, however you do it. If you want to be white and you think you're going to be black, it don't matter. If you identify as a black man, you are going to understand what it means when we say justice. Justice for the black man. Justice or else. And so it is going to be an interesting category. You know, oftentimes meetings don't necessarily, I don't want to say invite, because I don't know that they their audience is for the black man. And so if you are not black by your ethnicity or by your, well, let's just go there. If you're not black on your birth certificate, then, you know, I guess you'll be on the outside or on the sides listening in. And I don't know if they're going to stop certain people from coming over there or not. But whether you on the outside looking in, whether you on the rooftop trying to get in, whatever it is that you're trying to do to get this information, it will be available for everybody to hear. And he that has ears to hear, let them hear what the brother has to say. I'm a woman, and I am supporting my black brothers this weekend. You find your way there one way or the other. Borrow the money if you got to. Beg, borrow. Please don't steal, because we want to make sure that you get there in one piece. But try and get yourselves there so you can hear what the brother has to say, so you can come back into your communities, so that you can be the covering for this community. We need our black men back in our communities to give us the protection that's necessary against the wiles of the enemy.
Well, Dr. Kennedy, you know, we I believe we had a turning point in America to where new leadership is on the rise. The minister is about close to, I think he's in his 70s going towards 80 years old now. On our show tonight, I intentionally some YouTube links on our show because I wanted the listening audience to click on these links and hear the minister speak. Because I think often too much we, even myself and yourself, when we're in the trenches, when we're on the front lines, when we're advocating for justice, when we are trying to sound the bugle, people have a tendency to start putting labels on us, like troublemaker, rebel rouser, those different type of labels. And so many people get caught up, you know, trying to not hear the message, but spend more time hating the messenger. So I wanted the listening audience and those who go back to the archives to just listen to the minister. Just listen. And that's one of the problems we have, Dr. Kennedy, in America, is that we spend too much time talking and don't know what the hell we're talking about, but we need to listen to those who God has sent to be the messenger. And it reminds me of the children of Israel. When Moses was trying to work with them. But sometimes, Doctor, we love the enemy so much that God can send a messenger to get you out of Egypt. But because you're blind and because you don't understand, they love Pharaoh. And so I think, Dr. Kennedy, we need to spend more time telling our listening audience to go to the YouTube. That's why it's there. Don't take Sean Hannity just because he said he don't like the minister. Don't take Ray Appleton just because he don't like the minister. Listen for yourself. And if you come up with your own idea of if the minister is right. See, Dr. Kennedy, what I don't understand, maybe you can help me with this, you're an organizational psychologist, because I all I got is a 12th grade education. Now, I don't understand how is it that we have white officers who are gunning down black children and black men all over the country. And we're not supposed to be outraged. We're not supposed to march. We're not supposed to be screaming. We're not supposed to be hollering. But we don't see black police officers lynching, assassinating, and murdering white children in their rich neighborhoods. What is it with that scenario there that I'm missing here?
Well, the system is not set up that way. You know, it's a systematic process, right? And so everything is done in systems. The system is not even set up that way. It's not even designed that way. There's absolutely no way that a black police officer can go into a white neighborhood and shoot a kid, a white kid, multiple times. The system is not even designed that way. There is no way he could do it and get away with it. The system is so orchestrated that it is designed for white police officers to go into black neighborhoods and to shoot the kids multiple times. It is a design. It is designed intentionally. And they know, they've already programmed us to stand and watch while it's happening. And then we turn around and we say, you know, the person must have done something wrong for the police to shoot them that way. It doesn't dawn on us that says that's not the argument and that's not the issue. The issue is, why would you come into the neighborhood and why would you even shoot a person, not one time, not twice, but you would shoot them multiple times. Listen to the reports that you gave earlier in the show of those that's made it to the news media. And many of these situations are being discussed because somebody had some good sense to take their smartphone out of their pockets and to record it. And we have even found now that even when the recording takes place and they see it, they get a group of grand jury people, and I have served on a grand jury, so I know how that system works, and they would get a group of grand jury people, and they would somehow come out on the police's side. So now you've gone amongst your own pair, and they see what they see, and yet they tell their eyes, no, it isn't happening. Even though I can see it, even though this camera is taken step by step, slide by slide, but no, I'm still going to make sure that this police officer is not convicted. It is a systematic process. I believe that the minister is going to talk about systems this weekend. I believe he's going to show you how justice has a different interpretation depending on who is using it. And he's going to talk about a particular type of justice, and that if we don't embrace that justice, then there are consequences to that behavior. I believe that he's going to go down that road because it is high time that it be spelled out the way it needs to be spelled out. So, yes, Reverend, you won't find a white officer. They've had one or two lately that they've put on as a showcase because, you know, there's always got to be a benchmark. There's got to be a mascot. There's got to be a sacrificial lamb. And so there's been a few police officers who they've said, uh-uh, we can't let you off. Because if we don't let one or two come up underneath the hammer, then we're going to have mutiny on the ship. So they've gotten some sacrificial lambs to say, hey, you're going to do some time. You're going to lose your job. You're going to be sentenced. But, hey, even with that, they've got a nice retirement. Even with that, their families are well taken care of. Even with that, they still go down as heroes. And so we've got to dismantle this system that was not designed for us. How many black organizational psychologists are there? How many of us are out there? Who brings us into their corporation? Who brings us into their areas? Because they know that we've been trained with an eye to look at the way system processes work and to be able to ask those questions. Why does that dot have to connect to this dot? What is the outcome? When you do this, what is the outcome that you're wanting to accomplish? And are you intentionally wanting that outcome? What is the dysfunctional behaviors of these organizations? Why are we allowed to do that? That police department, the justice system, that needs a major overhaul. It needs a major overhaul on its behavior. And so, Reverend, I believe that Minister Farrakhan is going to really hammer in the nail this weekend. And he that has the ear to hear, they better hear. They better have pen and paper to be able to take down the blueprint that he's going to lay out.
There you have it, Dr. Jean Kennedy. Dr. Jean Kennedy. She is the organizational psychologist who is with us today, and we are glad to have her with us today. We are at our half-minute mark with Dr. Jean Kennedy and myself from Atlanta, Georgia, and Dr. Harris from Fresno, California. We are glad to have those who are listening on the internet. Those who are on the line, please stay on the line. And those who are on the internet, the show will be going off here briefly, probably in about 30 seconds. But I just want to say thank you for tuning in tonight. Hopefully we'll be on tomorrow, maybe a little earlier, but we'll see how the day goes. That's why we have the archive where you can go back and check out the show. Thank you. We love you.
And we are available. Remind them that we're available for folks to invite us to come into their communities to do town hall meetings if necessary.
Those who want us to come into your communities, please hit me on our Facebook, Floyd Harris or Dr. Jean Kennedy, or Real Talk with WITH Number One Doctors. Thank you for tuning in. So, Dr. Kennedy, we're on our last part of our show here. It was interesting to me that, on the front lines here in Fresno for the past 25, going on 26 years, fighting for justice. Yesterday we had folks who came from the UK, near England, overseas, some black brothers and sisters, who came over here trying to educate the United States of America. And they're touring California. They was here last night for about maybe 2.5 hours. And I was amazed, when I say amazed, to hear the stories that they told us about their loved ones and the corruption that's going on in the UK. And it is the same as here in America. And I was just this unbelief that, I thought that, you know, overseas things are better and, you know, that they don't have to deal with the police brutality and things. But they listening to their stories last night, Dr. Kennedy, they're going through the same thing we're going through here.
Yes, indeed. That just goes to show you how deep PTSS goes. What did Dr. Kennedy say? I said that shows you how deep PTS, as in Sam, S as in Sam, S as in Sam goes. What are those initials for? Post-traumatic stress slave syndrome. Post-traumatic stress slave syndrome. You're not going to have the psychologist put that label. America is not going to acknowledge that. But this is what happens worldwide when you take a group of people out of their zone and you spread them all over the globe, disconnect them, take away from them, break their spirit. And so whether they're living in England, being a black man today on the planet is a very dangerous thing to be. And we've got to get back together and to figure out what is the formula that we need. Now, I know why when I'm saying this, there's several of you saying, sister, wait up. When are you going to address the issue of black-on-black crime? And I say to you again, I believe our brother is going to talk about that even this weekend, because it's something that needs to talk about, because when you brainwash and when you have created a system that all that people know to do is to attack one another, because you have taken away their self-awareness. You've taken away their self-regulation. You have taken away their motivation. You've taken away the empathy. You've taken away their social skills by the systematic process that you have done. We as black people end up having to suffer with PTSS, post-traumatic stress slave syndrome. Even I, as an organization psychologist, have to check myself sometimes on my own self-awareness. I have to check myself sometimes on my own self-regulation. I have to check myself sometimes on what is motivating me. I have to check myself sometimes on what kind of empathy I have, I'm displaying. I have to check myself sometimes on what my social skills look like. How am I responding? And so we have to be accountable for what we do. Brother Farrakhan has on his Facebook, there's a statement that I want to read that's to make sure that you understand that we're right in line with what he's saying. As he talks about bringing the entire family, listen to a statement that is made. He says, the thing that is holding us black is us. The thing that is holding us back is us. Our pettiness, our divisions. But we have to have a cause bigger than our foolishness that will allow us to stop looking at each other and start looking at the success of a vision and cause bigger than ourselves. And that it is what the Million Man's March is all about. In 1995, that was a statement that was made, and it is a statement that stands true even today in 2015. We are holding our own selves back. We have got to take those shackles up. We're in the same mentality when they gave us our emancipation. We were still sitting around on the plantation, didn't know that we had our free papers. We were still listening to what Master and still doing for Master when we were free. We need to free our minds. We need to free our spirits. We need to free our purpose. We need to free who we are and stop trying to be something other than who we are. Be proud of who you are. And so I see again, Reverend Harris, we have got to be able to go back in and re-educate our community. Not everybody's going to want to be educated, but those who want to be, then we speak into their lives and give them life.
There you are, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Jean Kennedy. Dr. Jean Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia, the ATL in the South. of the country. And we are here talking about Minister Farrakhan, who will be in Washington, D.C. This weekend, saying justice or else. I mean, you to come out and tell America, who has the history, Dr. Kennedy, of lynching millions and billions, the Black Holocaust, the slaves who were beat and murdered, Black Wall Street that was burned down in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921, and many Black Wall Streets across the country. When one man can tell a nation that has the history and the blood on the hands of many presidents like George Washington and all of his partners who came after him, all the way down to George Bush and the rest of these presidents, for a man like the Minister Farrakhan, with his credibility and character and integrity of leading the Nation of Islam, who has been trying to spend many years partnering with the Christian church, who he has been rejected by many pastors across the country. We're talking about the minister, Louis Farrakhan, who came to Fresno, California, Mississippi, Fresno. He came here to speak at the Serrano Theater, a packed out house. I went to that. I was a young man at the time. He then went to Fresno Temple and preached the next morning and said that he's never, ever been to a city like Fresno. He said this reminds him of Mississippi. That came out of the minister's mouth. And so if the minister could say this when he came here years ago in 2000, I believe, 1994, not correct on the date, but he said Fresno reminds him of Mississippi. And so I think that my spirit and the minister's spirit has connected. And that's why I call Fresno Mississippi Fresno, because of all of the hurt and pain that this city has the highest concentration of poverty next to Katrina. Next to Katrina, Fresno, out of all cities. Well, that tells you, ladies and gentlemen, that Fresno is in trouble. Fresno is in trouble. The Black people here, the poor people here, the brown people here, we are in trouble in Fresno, just as well as all across the other country. The minister, Dr. Kennedy, has been spent his whole life trying to wake up the Black man and the Black woman. He has spent his whole life trying to educate. He's come out of the mosque and he went to the streets to talk to the gang yeah. members and the gang bangers. He took off his suit and put on some regular clothes and said, I got to get out the mosque and get out here where my yeah. people can touch me and I can touch them. He said that's a sign of what Jesus would do. Because Jesus was a person who wasn't housed up inside of the church. He wasn't housed up in the synagogue. He was out there with the thieves and the murderers and the prostitution. That's what a minister is. He's out here with those who are hurting and pain and receiving police brutality. He's out there with the homelessness. You know, I mean, I'm just so excited, Dr. Kennedy, for the minister to be speaking in Washington. I'm not going to be able to make it, but I'm going to be there in spirit, and I'm going to be looking at the footage, and we're going to be covering this live. I'm going to try to connect with some people that I know is going, Dr. Kennedy, and maybe we can do a show, a special show on Saturday for those who are over in Washington to give us a report on what's going on live, hopefully, when the minister is speaking. Dr. Kennedy, I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, we can already feel the energy that's building up for this, because he has a message, again, on the flyer for the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March. It says, Justice or Else, Saturday, October the 10th, 2015. And he has in bold print, bring the entire family. And again, the flyer says, the thing that is holding us back is us, our pettiness, our divisions. But we have to have a cause bigger than our foolishness that will allow us to stop looking at each other and start looking at the success of a vision and a cause bigger than ourselves. And that is what the Million Man's March started in 1995 has accomplished, and it's continuing now. And so, again, we are Christians. We're proud to identify ourselves as Christians. We're not trying to convert anywhere or anything, but we recognize that the brother has a message. Even for Christians, he has a message. And we often say, what would Jesus do? Well, then we're asking you, is Brother Farrakhan doing what Jesus would do? Is he speaking truth to power? Is he letting us know what time of the day it is? He says, no one will get the black vote this time around unless the minister speaks and speaks truth to power. Black people need some direction. We need to know who we are. We need to be proud of who we are. We need to come together, and he'll have a word for us that will help us to get a direction in the area we have to go. There's enough space for everyone to be able to benefit from this. There is a space for us black women. There is a space for our allies. There is a space for those behind bars. There is a space for our returning citizens out of the penal system. There is a space for the ministers. There is a space for media, black media. And so let us take advantage of the hour, the man for the hour that will be speaking truth to power, justice or else. We're so proud to be here tonight doing this very special show. We're supporting what Reverend Minister Farrakhan is doing in gathering our black men together in one space, inviting the families to support them. And we again know that there's a message, and we need a message at the midnight hour. Too many times we are muffling our leaders in one way or the other, the confusion amongst our leaders, and he has managed to separate himself, and he is using a platform right there in Washington, D.C. on Saturday to speak truth to power. So be there, or tune into your TV sets, and be there and see what the brother has to say so that we can take a piece of the blueprint and then work that in our communities so that we can all work together instead of holding each other back. Reverend Harris, thank you so much for bringing in this special show tonight and for helping the listening audience to just be motivated, to look beyond the religious side and look at the mission, look at the message for the hour. There is a message that this brother has. We must listen to the message, take out what's for us, and run with it, and so that we can save our nation. And our black men need to know that we're being supported.
All right, Dr. Kennedy, that's the end of our show. We just want to say one love to everybody. Tune in tomorrow. We will be throwing it down live here on the West Coast and in Atlanta, Georgia. And we just want to say, as Bob Marley say, one love, stay strong, stay with the power that you have, that God has given you to speak, to stand up in this country. If our ancestors did it, you can do it too. And that's what me and Dr. Kennedy does from Atlanta, Georgia, to the West Coast. Love y'all. Thank you for listening to Real Talk with the number one doctors, the number one radio show in the world, in the land. And we say goodnight.
Peace and love.